Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
And ladies and gentlemen, the road to WrestleMania continues, and it's intensifying, intensifying, and intensifying. That means the excitement is building and building and building, and I love it, and I am so grateful to God. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. And my name, of course, is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And ladies and gentlemen, my question to you is simply this. Did you enjoy this edition of Monday Night Raw in Glasgow, Scotland? Oh, I definitely did. And I'm certainly looking forward to next week in London, England. What a brilliant European tour. I don't even know where to start. Well, let's just start the way Monday Night Raw started, right? Just like last week, John Cena to kick it off. Well, he certainly picked up where he left off last week. He mentioned that kid that became an international sensation of a meme. Oh, boy. Well, the crowd let John Cena have it again, didn't they? Oh, you heard the chants. I mean, I'm not just talking about the chants of when he came out, not the John Cena sucks, John Cena sucks. That's just a bit of a nostalgic act. But that's not what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The fuck you, Cena. That's even the way it went. But hey, I heard those chants. And then, of course, I heard shut the fuck up. So the fans are obviously letting John Cena have it. Then again, that right there is what we need. That is what we need. Well, John Cena, this time, decided to mention something that he created in April of 2005. And we know exactly what that is, ladies and gentlemen. Well, he reminded us. The championship belt that he introduced. The spinner belt. Man, when he brought that up, man, I was 12 years old when that took place. Man, 20 years ago. So how fitting is it? How fitting is it that nearly 20 years later, he brings it up? Now, he's talking about that 25-year journey of which he was, as he says, you know, with his relationship with the fans, says he was in a very abusive relationship, that he was the victim of abuse. Man, if I remember correctly, April 3rd, I believe, was WrestleMania 21. So if he introduced the belt April 5th, you know, I'm kind of thinking, well, okay, he beat JBL for the title at WrestleMania 21, but he still held that belt until his first defense in the rematch against JBL. I could have sworn that John Cena introduced, okay, you know what, no. I was about to say, I thought he introduced the belt after Judgment Day, after that brutal I Quit match he had with JBL. I remember that I Quit match very, very well. For a second, I was like, wait, didn't he introduce the belt after? I know he introduced the belt after WrestleMania. So, as far as I'm concerned, I don't quite recall the exact date when he introduced the belt. I don't know if it was the next edition of SmackDown when he introduced the new belt. I do remember the segment when he introduced the belt because John Bradshaw Layfield somehow had possession of the belt itself. So I do remember a segment where he did introduce the belt. I just don't quite recall the date. I tried to look it up, and I know that it's out there, but it would take too long, and I really honestly had to get to it with this episode because that's what I do. The Raw ends, and I get to work immediately on, well, giving my thoughts on the episode because I stick to my commitments, ladies and gentlemen. So again, as I got a little bit off topic, John Cena told us the story about him introducing the championship spinner belt. mentioned, of course, the whole thing being a toy and whatnot. You know, I've been asked over the years, what did I think of the spinner belt? Well, obviously, as a kid, I thought it was cool. As an adult, I figured, you know, I figured they would have changed the belt after maybe a couple of years, after maybe 4 or 5 years. I figured that the belt would eventually change. I mean, it did, you know, in, what was it, in 2013. It did in 2013, especially when Randy Orton became that undisputed champion, you know, to build up for WrestleMania 30. They did change it. The Rock changed it, if I'm correct. Yeah, The Rock changed it in 2013 after defending the title against CM Punk in that rematch at Elimination Chamber. So it was in 2013 when they changed the belt, the design of the WWE Championship. Then, of course, they introduced the Universal Championship not long after. So, yeah, you would expect at least that they're going to change the design of the belt, you know, every couple of years. When they introduced the Intercontinental Championship, when Cody Rhodes introduced the authentic white strap of the Intercontinental Championship, I fell in love with it. I'm not going to lie. I love that belt so much. I mean, the Attitude Era version of the Intercontinental title, it was not bad. I was not really a huge fan of the design, but I will say it's better than the design that we have now. I will definitely say that. But bottom line is, you've seen that story about John Cena's spinner belt. I mean, it fit the persona, so it worked for John Cena. But I figured if John Cena would have dropped the belt to somebody else, they would actually bring back maybe the old, you know, the previous version, the one that JBL held, and the late great Eddie Guerrero before him. But the story of John Cena mentioning the championship spinner belt, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I look back into my 12-year-old self when he introduced that belt. So John Cena is really taking us for a ride. I mean, he took us for a ride in that promo, and he's taking us for a ride in that one. Now, Cody Rhodes eventually comes out. I mean, man, the chance that Cody gets, Cody Rhodes. Oh, fans love him. I mean, every time this happens, you know, the fact that I look myself in the mirror and I remind myself that I predicted Cody Rhodes turning heel this year not at WrestleMania, but I predicted Cody Rhodes to turn heel, but the complete opposite. Oh, boy. I mean, part of me believes that, you know, with those chants and Cody Rhodes, you know, now feuding with John Cena. Well, man, it's really kind of making me think. I mean, what was I thinking predicting that Cody Rhodes would turn heel and not John Cena? But, you know, some fans have reached out and says, Alex, stop being so hard on yourself. You made a judgment call. You made a prediction. Okay. Wrestling, you did what wrestling fans do. I mean, okay. It's just that sometimes when my prediction doesn't really happen, or if I predict something and the complete opposite happens, sometimes you just kind of look, I just kind of look myself in the mirror and I'm like, man, this did not happen. I didn't get it right. And sometimes I feel like as a lifelong wrestling fan who has covered pro wrestling, even as a journalist, that sometimes I should really get expectations right. But even my good buddy and business partner, Mr. Ricky, a.k.a. the Master of Mayhem, told me the exact same thing. Alex, there's no shame in getting a prediction wrong. So, shout out to you, Ricky. Love you, buddy. Shout out to all the friends that have reached out to me. Yeah, sometimes you feel a little sense of embarrassment when this happens. So, but to wrap up what John Cena said, so he mentioned the belt. But then he mentions how he's going to win the title for the 17th time. And he says he vows... to retire with the belt so he can take it back home. So now I'm wondering, if John Cena wins the championship, which he's very likely obviously will, if John Cena wins, if he beats Cody, is he going to bring back the spinner belt? Well, from that promo, I would imagine that, well, I would expect him to. Now, would I actually be excited to see that old belt back? Not particularly, but if it fits the John Cena storyline, of course, the heel turn and everything that he said from the promo this week and last week, well, it would make sense if the spinner belt was brought back. So it doesn't matter whether I'm excited to see that spinner belt or not. As long as it fits the narrative of the storyline, then fine. So be it. But what John Cena said, how he's going to take back his championship and bring it back home. Man. Well, Cody obviously was not going to stand for it. So, man, Cody even challenged John Cena, if you want to take the belt so bad, why wait? Why don't you do it right now? He put the belt on the ground. John Cena just basically exited the ring and slowly walked back up, you know, back up the ramp. Man. And then Cody even mentions how he saw something, like he said, like he was wrong last week, like this John Cena that he saw. I mean, the old John, the new John. Man, the story is only just getting better. And I would imagine in London, obviously, there's gonna be another step to take. So now, I'm really expecting, once again, as I said last week, I'm expecting the final boss to make an appearance, at least one appearance on Raw before WrestleMania. But who knows what'll happen, but I would expect that John Cena and Cody will certainly be in the ring. Obviously, they're gonna have a face-off, the Monday Night Raw, the same week of WrestleMania, but as this continues to build up, I expect both of them to be in the ring, to have cut promos in the coming weeks. And what I saw last week was brilliant. What I saw this week was brilliant. And you know what? I'm absolutely excited to see what happens next. Well, aren't we all, ladies and gentlemen? Aren't we all? Well, first match that opened, if I'm correct, I believe it was A Town Down Under. Man, I just can't say it. A Town Down Under versus the Usos. Well, originally was Jey Uso versus a mystery partner, and it turned out to be his brother, Jimmy Uso. It was great to see the Usos team up once again. Now, the match between the Usos and A Town Down Under was, in fact, a solid match. And as great as a match as it was, you know, what happened at the end after the match with Gunther, you know, Jey Uso slipping or tripping, whatever it was. Now, it brought up to a segment backstage between the twin brothers. And Jimmy Uso was hyping up and only trying to motivate his twin brother. He's basically saying, this Jey Uso can't win, not this Jey Uso. And then he confronts Gunther and challenges him to a match next week, which will take place on Raw in London. And seeing Jimmy Uso slap Gunther right in the face. Oh, boy. So the match between A Town Down Under and the Usos, I felt was a solid match. And I will say, I don't remember if I recalled this last week, but when Austin Theory literally was squashed by Jey Uso, fans were furious. I believe I did mention it. If I did, let me know in the comments. I honestly did not expect Austin Theory to get squashed by Jey Uso. I didn't expect him to win, but I expected Austin Theory, well, to be able to perform, well, I shouldn't say perform better. It's not because Austin Theory did bad. No, he didn't do bad at all. It's obviously, okay, so I'm gonna take my steps back a little bit, because this is not on Austin Theory at all. I think what I'm trying to say is I think the match was not written well, because I don't agree to the fact that Austin Theory should have been squashed by Jey Uso. I think Austin Theory should have had more offense. I think the match should have been a little bit more, I'm not sure exactly how to put it. Well, I think everybody knows what I'm trying to say. The match definitely should have been a whole lot better than that. I think Austin Theory should have been able to have had more in this one. So, but from the looks of it, yeah, fans were upset. So at least this match was able to make up for that, but I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was not happy to see Austin Theory lose the way he did to Jey Uso. So, man. So the match did make up for it. And especially, again, what happened at the end, you know, it's obviously part of the storyline, because with Jey Uso, you know, getting, you know, basically Gunther getting the better of him in these post-match attacks. Okay, now I know the word. Okay, I think it should have been a bit of a thriller. Like, Austin Theory's match versus Jey Uso should have been more of a thriller type. Like, Austin Theory has control. Jey Uso, the babyface, you know, sparks a comeback and gets the win. I think that's the way it should have went. So I'm glad that it finally came to me. But A Town Down Under versus the Usos, I think, was solid. Some fans obviously have some mixed reactions to it. But now Bleacher Report actually gave it a B. And I agree with it. I agree with it. So, And seeing all these moves that they built, you know, how what the Usos did, you know, to finish the match, I thought that at the end of the match was fantastic. Now, the crowd was actually quiet in some places, but the match did come, the crowd did come alive a couple of times. But, man, I don't know. I think some fans were probably just, you know, worried that the same thing would happen, you know, with a match with Austin Theory. But, again, as I said, the match between A-Town Down Under and the Usos was a very, very solid match. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break, and Ringside Chaos will be right back. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ringside Chaos. Well, to pick up where we left off, well, final thing I would say, once again, the solid tag team match between A-Town Down Under and the Usos. But of course, the main highlight, aside from the match, aside from the finish, and of course, that one particular spot where Austin Theory hit that forearm on Jimmy, which looks, it looks so good. I mean, it honestly looked stiff, but Jimmy sold it well. But of course, once again, the segment or later on backstage when Jimmy tried to hype up his brother, telling him that the world needs to see the Jey Uso that won the Royal Rumble. So, again, really interesting segment. I mean, of course, you see a brother being given a pep talk by his twin brother. I mean, doesn't get any better than that. But basically, it's about needing to be the same Jey Uso that won the Royal Rumble in order to beat Gunther. But then again, Jimmy confronting Gunther and slapping him right in the face. Well, Gunther's reaction after that smile, well, man, after Gunther literally said, after being challenged, said, hey, why not? I mean, would love to see you slip and fall just like your brother. So, typical heel talk, you know, from Gunther, the current world champion. But the match after that, Lyra Valkyria versus Raquel Rodriguez for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. I'm not going to lie, nothing really to say about it. To be honest with you, you know what? like I said, absolutely nothing to say about it. But honestly, it's a match. You know, I did watch it. But if there's anything I can't say, okay, because what I have to say, there's nothing really to say about it. I mean, there's really nothing positive. That's what I'm saying. And I don't want to go on a tirade of such negativity because, you know, again, I mean, sometimes you do because of how the structure goes in a certain match. But in this one, you know, it's amazing that, you know, Raquel has these dominating moments in the match, and the way she lost, after that, well, you know, again, the way she lost, I mean, that just tells the story and just what happened in that build-up, you know, to how she lost. I mean, it did not look good for Raquel Rodriguez. I'm not going to lie. It was bad, but I didn't expect her to become the champion today, obviously, but, excuse me, but I really honestly believe the match was so bad. I mean, obviously, it did not look good for both Raquel Rodriguez and Lyra Valkyria, so that's what I'm going to leave it at. Well, speaking of Women's World Championship, obviously, everything that's been going on between the current champion Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley, well, this week it only just got better. Adam Pearce is no longer playing games. He is no longer messing around. Now, he came to the ring, and of course, you know, last week, after Rhea Ripley attacked both Io Sky and Bianca Belair, she signed her name on the contract, and of course, Adam Pearce mentions that for weeks he's been talking to Rhea about her rematch, and all of a sudden she comes out and says she wants her rematch, and Pearce goes, oh, now you want your rematch, and, oh, boy. So, Adam Pearce basically says that next week, okay, that next week, Rhea Ripley will, in fact, challenge Io Sky once again for the championship. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the best part. Oh, no. Oh, no. The best part didn't even actually happen in this segment. It actually happened backstage. Backstage. Right after Adam Pearce literally told the New Day, go away. Oh, I swear. I love Adam Pearce. I love this guy. But, see, Adam Pearce finally losing his cool. I mean, So Adam Pearce comes out to the ring and talks about the women's title situation. Io Sky, of course, comes first and says she's willing to fight both Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair at the same time. Now, for those of you that watched this edition of Monday Night Raw, obviously you know what's going to happen next week, and we're about to get to that. But we all know what really is going to happen at WrestleMania, and I'll get to that just one step at a time. So Pierce, after Rhea Ripley just comes out, I mean, Pierce basically ends up booking Rhea Ripley versus Sky next week for the title, which again takes place in London. And the winner, of course, goes on to defend against Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. So obviously, it ends up in a brawl. So, next week, again, Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky. Now, again, what's the best thing about this? I mean, well, I should mention the fact that Bianca Belair has been getting booed, actually. So for so long, I mean, I basically talked about Bianca Belair turning heel. I mean, at this point, I've given up predicting it because every time I predicted it, and it just never happened. I did it at least 3 times, and each time it didn't happen. So 1, 2, 3 strikes and you're out. So I'm done predicting a heel turn for Bianca Belair. If it happens anytime soon, if it happens between now, or if it happens at WrestleMania or after WrestleMania, I'll believe it when I see it. And of course, I will talk about it right here on this program. Hopefully with Ricky. Well, if you're listening, well, love the show. Well, you should definitely let me know your thoughts in the comments. Will Bianca Belair turn heel anytime soon? Because me, in my case, I cannot predict it anymore. And also, if you want to leave in the comments, let me know what you expect to happen next between John Cena and Cody in the build-up to their match at WrestleMania. Man, Io Sky just getting heavily cheered. Man, Bianca Belair getting booed whenever she was in control of the brawl. Man. Yeah, so that would say something. But again, whatever happens, I will believe it when I see it. So the best part about this is when, obviously, Bianca Belair confronting Adam Pearce in his office. And again, Adam Pearce just got done talking to New Day. New Day, of course, you know, mentioning how, you know, they're the ones trying to keep the tag team division alive. Or rather, they're actually the ones keeping it alive. I mean, of course, you know, the New Day being the heel New Day. What else would you expect? So, boy. So at this point, okay, I'm just going and get right to it. Bianca Belair versus Io Sky for the championship. Adam Pearce added something to it. Guess who is going to be officiating the match? Yep, you guessed it. Bianca Belair. Adam Pearce tells Bianca Belair that she will serve as the special guest referee. Bianca Belair responds saying she doesn't know how to ref. So Adam Pearce, again, because Adam Pearce is no longer messing around. He is no longer going to mess around. He's no longer going to accept any more chaos in this whole situation. He tells Bianca Belair, you have 7 days to learn. Again, Adam Pearce is done messing around. Okay, so let me give some thoughts about the triple threat match. Okay, see, now I got ahead of myself. Okay, now give my thoughts on Bianca Belair being the special guest referee. I have a feeling that this match is going to go down similar to a match that is very, very well known and is actually a match that I remember very, very well. I have watched this match so many times. This match has a particular special spot in my heart. Everybody remembers. I've actually talked about it right here on the show. This was actually one of the first episodes on this show. Everybody remembers one time in the fall of 1999 in Richmond, Virginia, the British Bulldog challenging Triple H for the World Wrestling Federation title. Everybody knows where I'm going. Who was the special guest referee in that match? Yeah, the final boss, the people's champ, The Rock. Of course, this is way before the Hollywood Rock, the final boss. I mean, this was actually not long after The Rock turned face and Triple H had turned heel. So what I'm trying to say is this match is basically, it has me thinking this is going to end up going similar to that. Now, it probably won't because, you know, that was the Attitude Era. We're not in the Attitude Era, but since with Triple H in charge, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. Can y'all imagine if this match went very, very similar to what happened in 1999 when Triple H was fighting the British Bulldog, defending the title against the late, great British Bulldog and The Rock as a special guest referee? I mean, if you haven't seen that match, it's on YouTube. Go check it out. That match was pure joy, pure entertainment. I mean, we all remember The Rock. Remember The Rock giving Triple H a huge round of applause after Triple H executed a pedigree? I mean, you remember this? One, two, it doesn't matter if The Rock counts to three. Of course, the sliding people's elbow. Man, I was 6 years old when that took place. And the reason why that match has a special spot in my heart, because I told the story, but to make it quick, that day, again, as a child, I was bullied a lot at school, bullied relentlessly and mercilessly. That particular day was so bad. I got bullied badly at school that match, you know, after crying all day, crying, you know, all afternoon at home from all the bullying I endured that day at school, The Rock, the British Bulldog, and Triple H put a smile on my face. They made a crying child that had been, I mean, I was getting bullied a lot already, but that day, it was just one of the worst days in school. But they took, basically what I'm trying to say is that match made a crying child in a serious pain. They put a smile, it put a smile on that child's face, and that child is me. So I don't expect the match to go like that. It would be cool if it did. I mean, I don't expect Bianca Belair to say it doesn't matter if I count to three. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. If Rhea Ripley were to execute the Riptide on Io Sky and then go for the cover and then Bianca starts clapping, much like The Rock did for Triple H and that pedigree in that match, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I would laugh my butt off. But I doubt that's going to happen. So what's going to happen? Well, I can make all the predictions, but let's be honest, I'm not very, very good with predictions. So here's what, because we all know this is going to happen. This is basically going to make the final exclamation point. The match is obviously going to end in chaos because obviously Rhea Ripley can't be pinned or to be made submitted, and Io Sky is not going to lose the belt. This is going to basically be the conclusion to where it's going to be announced as a triple threat match. So it seems that we have more than one triple threat match happening at WrestleMania. I mean, obviously last week, CM Punk, Roman Reigns, and Rollins. Well, one thing I want to mention that is, of course, Punk mentions that neither of you two can beat me without each other's help. So CM Punk saying, Rollins, you can't beat me without Roman Reigns' help. Roman, you can't beat me without Rollins' help. Of course, it started out with Roman Reigns in the ring. Rollins came out and, you know, saying, this has always been about us. So then he wants to add another chapter to the history book. But Rollins basically said, you should have let me finish Punk when I had the chance. Great segment. And obviously, it's confirmed because I already knew it was going to happen. A triple threat match between Punk, Reigns, and Rollins. And as I said before, Punk is the one that is going to go over. So there's my prediction I'm sticking to. But Punk is the one who has to get over. But, so, again, back to the match. So we are going to see Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. So I don't know how the match is going to happen. I would imagine it's going to end up in a no contest. Because, okay, well, I'm feeling brave. Okay, you know what? I'll give y'all a prediction. Because y'all are so, so supportive and helpful towards me. Y'all are so, so supportive of me. I really appreciate the love and support. Here's one. Okay. We all know how Io Sky tries to intervene and then she basically gets the hand to the face and gets pushed. That is going to happen. So, I believe that, okay, Bianca Belair makes a count and let's say Io Sky goes for the cover and Rhea Ripley kicks out. And then Io Sky gets to Bianca Belair's face and then gives her that push again. And then Rhea Ripley executes the Riptide on Io Sky and makes the cover. Bianca Belair makes the count and then Io Sky kicks out. And then Rhea Ripley gets in Bianca's face and gets the same thing. Gets that, you know, hand to the face and then she gets pushed. That's going to be the buildup. So eventually, I think it's going to end up in a no contest when I think both Rhea and Io Sky will probably at the same time push Bianca Belair to the ground, and then there's going to be yet another brawl. So that's my prediction. So it's going to end up in a no contest with all three women brawling in the ring, okay? And then Adam Pearce, again, basically being the no more bullshit Adam Pearce, as we saw on this edition of Raw, he is going to come out and he's going to make it a triple threat match at WrestleMania. And I wouldn't be surprised if Adam Pearce said, if any of you put your hands on each other before the match, before WrestleMania, if any of you get physical, whatever, you forfeit your spot. I mean, that would make the match even more exciting. But you know what? Make it even better. Make it no disqualifications. But that's what I'm predicting. So obviously the match is going to go like that. Basically, what we've seen in these segments, all three women are gonna brawl in the ring. Adam Pearce is going to run out to the ring and he's going to make it a triple threat match. But you know what? It would be awesome if he puts a stipulation in the buildup. If anybody, like if Io Sky puts her hands on any of them or vice versa, then you will forfeit your spot. And who knows? But at this point, I'm just basically trying to give it the way I see it. But you know what? Hey, what better way to do it? What better way to do it? So now we're past this segment. Obviously, I want to get to the main event. Now, the main event was great, but then there was, of course, there's the Dragon Lee versus El Grande Americano. They actually released a video package about El Grande Americano's background, all your career and everything. I mean, he's actually built from the Gulf of America. Okay, we all know where that's from. We're not going to get in that kind of discussion. This is no place for politics, but I like how WWE is using this particular thing to incorporate in the storyline. I mean, you know what? Why not? El Grande Americano built from the Gulf of America? I mean, you know what? Why not? I mean, why not? Last week, okay, I'm honest, I feel a little bit silly for saying that Rey Fénix is El Grande Americano. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, some still believe it's Chad Gable. I mean, we're going to find out, obviously, soon enough. But speaking of Rey Fénix, well, it's actually been said that he has signed with WWE. I actually saw a source that Eric Bischoff says that Rey Fénix should actually be used as a single star. Now, for the time being, you know, with everything going on with Penta right now, because Penta is involved in storylines of his own, I think Rey Fénix should probably be on his own as well. But I would imagine Rey Fénix is probably going to be on SmackDown. If he's not El Grande Americano, then it would actually be better if Penta and Rey Fénix were on different shows. Now, do I see the Lucha Brothers reuniting eventually in WWE? Absolutely. But for now, it's probably not the best time. But whatever happens with Rey Fénix in WWE, I'm excited for it. I'm just glad that his nightmare with AEW has finally come to an end. I'm glad. Now, as far as what he has to say, well, you know what? I haven't really paid attention to it. I'm just glad that Rey Fénix has been able to move on from his ordeal, from his issues involving AEW. The bottom line is Rey Fénix can now move on with his career. Most importantly, he can move on with his life. So I'm very, very happy for Rey Fénix, and I'm very, very excited to see what he does in the WWE. There's no doubt in my mind, he's going to do great. Okay. Man. You know, during that match between El Grande Americano and Dragon Lee, I mean, even Michael Cole mentioned Chad Gable's name. Like, he literally said Lee and Gable, and he said, sorry, Americano did a great job. I mean, Michael Cole is obviously not buying that Chad Gable is not El Grande Americano. I mean, we all know the story about Chad Gable, you know, going to learn about the arts of Lucha Libre, so... Chad Gable pretending to be sick this week. I mean, oh boy. Man. The match between Americano and Leo, I mean, it was not bad. I mean, a couple of great bumps. I mean, that suplex off the apron, I mean, that was pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. Now, I will say, the match, I think around the end when, I did not like. But then again, you see El Grande Americano perform several of Chad Gable's moves. But I think the mask being ripped off, well, I get it. It's just part of the match. But I was like, you know what? They didn't have to do that. I really did not like having to see Dragon Lee tap out like that, especially because, you know, he's covering his face. And I feel like, okay, the match perhaps, I guess, would make sense for the storyline. But since we don't really know much about the whole El Grande Americano right now, so... I mean, sometimes, obviously, a match is going to end in a way that I personally don't like, even if it were to make sense storyline-wise, but, you know, again, we all have our opinions. But as far as Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio and El Grande Americano and everything that's going on, well, I don't know what to expect moving forward. I mean, I was really convinced that at WrestleMania we'd see the New Day versus Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. I mean, maybe it'll still happen, and I don't know. but the whole program right now involving El Grande Americano, I don't know what to say because, you know, I feel like we just have to continue to wait and see what happens. So, and speaking of now we get to the main event of WrestleMania. And before the main event, actually, American Made actually came out, and Chad Gable, you know, cutting a brief promo. Of course, you know, him being sick and everything. I mean, Chad Gable just really doing his best to entertain everybody. And Chad Gable does a fantastic job. He really does. But, well, before we get to, man, how did I forget this? Before we get to the main event, CM Punk came to the ring to deliver a great promo. Of course, he explained what happened on SmackDown. I mean, man, starting off with Reigns and then Rollins getting there. Of course, Rollins saying, you know, this has always been about you and me, so let's write the next chapter. And then CM Punk coming out and saying that neither of you two can beat me without the other one's help. So, man. CM Punk delivering a great promo as always. And of course, next week, all three of them are supposed to be there. I think he mentioned something about a contract signing. So are we excited to see Rollins and Reigns and Punk in the ring, all three at the same time next week for this contract signing, if I'm correct? Yeah, I'm excited. It might actually be the highlight of next week's episode. We'll see. Well, so, Penta versus Bron Breakker, the main event for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, earlier, Dominic, Dirty Dom, approached Penta and literally said, "You're good, but you could be better." Penta joining the Judgment Day would be the stupidest thing ever. I'm not going to lie. This is just my opinion. If you agree or disagree, then okay. You know what? Another thing you can leave in the comments. Would it be stupid for Penta to join the Judgment Day? Why or why not? So, anyway, always curious to know what you have to say. The match really lived up to the hype. I think honestly, for it to be end in a disqualification, that doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. Now, everybody knows I'm not a huge fan of DQ finishes, but as long as it makes sense storyline wise, then fine, I'll go with it. It would be bad if Penta lost by being pinned. It would be bad if Bron Breakker lost the Intercontinental Championship. So because they don't want Penta losing, and Bron Breakker, they don't want him dropping the belt, then obviously it would end in a disqualification. Now, part of me says, did it have to end in a disqualification the way it did? What if it just ended in a no contest? Okay. I mean, if it ended in a no contest, I would have been okay with it if it had been done great. I probably would prefer it. Well, I definitely would prefer it that way. Again, I just said that I'm not a fan of DQ finishes. I'm not a fan of disqualification finishes. So I would obviously prefer a no contest finish. But I think the way I would have written is, okay, the Judgment Day, I mean, keep in mind, Carlito and Dirty Dom came out there supposedly supporting Penta. But imagine if basically, and then Finn Balor obviously got involved in the end. I mean, it was him that, you know, caused the disqualification finish. So if it ended in a no contest, like all of a sudden, like, could you imagine if all of a sudden Finn Balor and the Judgment Day attacked both Bron Breakker and Penta? Well, that really probably would make sense. I mean, with this whole thing right now of Dirty Dom attempting to recruit Penta into the group. So, and then obviously Finn Balor not really okay with it. I mean, after what we saw from that finish, of course, you know, Finn Balor mentioning that bringing in the steel chair and then viciously attacking Bron Breakker with a chair, and then Dominic Mysterio taking the chair and giving it to Penta and telling him to hit Bron Breakker, and then Penta obviously tosses the chair to Mysterio and delivers a kick to Mysterio through the chair, and then obviously Finn Balor goes after Penta for that. I mean, at the end, seeing both Penta and Bron Breakker down after being destroyed by the Judgment Day, well, that's now I'm asking, so the tensions between the Judgment Day, all of a sudden, are they over now? Because it looked that for the first time in a long time, Finn Balor, Carlito, and Dirty Dom seem to be on the same page. Okay, maybe it happens this time, but next week it could fall apart again. So now I'm asking, so is this going to build up to another triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship? So are they going to have three triple threat matches at WrestleMania? Well, keep in mind, it's not all on the same night, but still, three triple threat matches for WrestleMania. I mean, right now, Bron Breakker versus Finn Balor versus Penta at WrestleMania, I mean, it's a match I would be excited for. I would imagine Penta would be the one to go over in that one. I would imagine Penta would be the one to go over, but I don't think Bron Breakker would be the one that would be pinned. Now, Penta and Bron Breakker had an excellent match. I mean, at first, that Bron Breakker had all that momentum, had all that offense. I mean, man. And then Penta beginning to build the momentum of his own. Man, the crowd actually broke as far as chants go. Of course, the crowd was going, let's go. I mean, the crowd was literally going, if I'm correct, let's go Penta, hoo, hoo, hoo. I mean, they were saying, let's go Penta, and then, of course, the barking. So it's good to see the crowd just be split like that. But, of course, when both competitors are putting up together a tremendous match, I mean, at this time, honestly, for me, I was cheering for both because both Penta and Bron Breakker were working well together. That chemistry, the performance, the work ethic, the workability. I mean, both these gentlemen were just, I mean, such brilliant chemistry. I mean, it takes two to tango, ladies and gentlemen. And Bron Breakker and Penta, my God, that's what I love to see. That is what I love to see. And actually, I should actually correct myself. It was Dominic Mysterio that caused the disqualification. It was actually Dirty Dom that caused the disqualification, not Finn Balor, so I apologize for that. Mysterio caused the disqualification because he came in and attacked Bron Breakker, but then eventually Finn Balor showed up and hit the champion with a steel chair several times. And then, again, after all that supposed friction between him and Dirty Dom, Finn Balor and Dirty Dom looked to all of a sudden be on the same page again, and then Penta was even confused about why. I mean, you see, this is what Bleacher Report says. I mean, I would understand why Penta was confused, because why would they basically cost him the Intercontinental Championship if they want him in the group? So, then again, maybe it was all ruse, but then again, maybe Penta was actually feigning confusion, because again, from what we saw, if Dirty Dom gives him the chair, then Penta refuses to hit Bron Breakker with the chair. Instead, tosses it, as I said, like I said, he tossed it to Dom and then did that kick. I mean, maybe Penta was feigning confusion. Penta maybe had never had any intention of joining the group. So, I mean, who knows? But Dom handed Penta the chair and told him to go after Breakker, but he instead went after Dom. And the show ended with Balor taking out Penta as well. So, yeah, I wasn't really a fan of the show ending with Penta and Breakker down, and then, of course, the Judgment Day looking strong. But, man. But I really loved what I saw. But as far as I'm concerned, moving forward with the Intercontinental Championship, and because Penta lost this way, obviously it's not over. So I'm starting to believe maybe there will be another triple threat match at WrestleMania. So we already have, you know, so the one I already predicted is the one for the Women's World Championship between Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, and Bianca Belair. And we already have CM Punk versus Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins. So, you know what? Why not add a third to the mix? A triple threat, particular situation. A triple amount of a triple threat match, if that makes any sense. Man. Oh, boy. Unbelievable. And again, the Intercontinental Championship match being the main event, it does not come as a surprise. It had to be, and especially the way the match went. Again, I cannot praise Bron Breakker and Penta enough for putting one hell of a match. And of course, the producer of the match as well. Match was well written. And again, not a fan of disqualification finishes, but I understand why. I fully understand why the DQ finish went the way it did. Now, I think a no contest probably would have been better, but you know what? The way this no disqualification finished, you know what? Perhaps this finish was actually made more, probably makes more sense than a no contest finish. So, you know what? Hey, it's amazing that when you dig deeper and deeper and deeper and understand the situation, that's how a mind can be changed. So, obviously, it happened last week when I mentioned the particular possible program between AJ Styles and Karrion Kross. But speaking of AJ Styles, Logan Paul obviously released something. So Logan Paul says he's going to be on Raw next week in London, and you know he wants AJ Styles to be there. So I'm thinking more AJ Styles versus Logan Paul at WrestleMania, but somehow, some way, Karrion Kross is going to be involved in the program. So who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen? So, ladies and gentlemen, before I let everybody go, I want to take a quick look at the WrestleMania card so far. Obviously, Cody Rhodes versus John Cena for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair for the WWE Women's Championship. Gunther versus Jey Uso for the World Championship. And, of course, the other championship match for the Women's World Championship. So, these the Women's World Championship and the WWE Women's Championship. There's a difference right there. Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. I mean, all of a sudden, they have the triple threat match already. So now I'm seeing it right now. They already have the triple threat match set. So obviously, because we all know it's coming. So obviously, Wikipedia might as well have it. So now here I am staring at it from Wikipedia. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, which is going to be so good. Of course, Roman Reigns versus CM Punk versus Seth Rollins. Okay, you know what? No, I'm reading it wrong. What am I thinking? No. It's Io Sky or Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. I swear to God. I'm actually looking at it from my phone because I have an old laptop and it easily overheats, so I'm hoping it doesn't happen on this broadcast. But so I apologize for the mix up. Sorry again, ladies and gentlemen. Man, I apologize again. Well, a little bit of a mess up. So it's Io Sky or Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. but again, we all know it's going to be a triple threat match. So right now we're flirting with the idea of three possible triple threat matches at WrestleMania. At least I'm the one flirting with it. So, man, seems a little bit embarrassing looking at it at Wikipedia, right? But you know what? I think okay, this thing, a spoiler on planned Intercontinental Championship match for WrestleMania 41. No, we're not going to do that. But, man. So, the card looks really, really exciting so far, but, you know, as the next couple of weeks, how things continue to build up, the week of WrestleMania, the Monday Night Raw of WrestleMania, man, can't wait to see what happens, but I'm just excited to see what happens in the coming weeks. So, ladies and gentlemen, what did you think of this edition of Monday Night Raw? Let me know down below in the comments. And of course, specific things that you want to mention about what I mentioned on this episode. Well, but most of all, I want to know, what do you think of this edition of Raw? What did you think of the finish of the main event? Do you agree with my theory of what's going to happen next week when Bianca Belair referees? So of course, if you have any WrestleMania predictions or whatnot, let me know in the comments if you're listening on Spotify or if you're watching on YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, once again, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and on YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one. I love y'all. And God bless.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.